Sunday, August 3rd, 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth, vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even at night his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. Haydock Commentary. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Most vain and despicable and frustrating are the expectations of men. One who has labored with wisdom must leave his property to one who has not labored over it. That is, the writings of the wise are often perverted by perverse heretics, so says St. Jerome. Or idle heirs dissipate the possessions which had been accumulated with such industry. Riches tend to encourage the profligacy of the heir. The second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 11. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death then the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Haydock Commentary. St. Paul considers man's body as made up of sins and sinful inclinations. It is not to bring back Judaism that we practice abstinences and fasts, nor with the same motive as the Jews, but to accomplish the precepts of mortifying the irregular desires of the flesh. In a mortified body, sensuality is more easily subdued. We are created to the image of God, inasmuch as our souls are spiritual and immortal. But here we are put in mind to imitate God by sanctity and justice, as God is holy and the fountain of justice. The image or resemblance of our Creator was effaced by sin, but is retraced by Jesus Christ, who forms in us this new man. When we put on the new man by sanctity and grace, God makes no distinction betwixt Jew and Gentile, etc. In the Church of Christ, God makes no exception of persons. All are called to the marriage feast, whether Jews, formerly the most favored people of God, or Greeks, who were reckoned the most polite or learned, or barbarians or Scythians, who are esteemed the most cruel and ferocious of men. Still these are called. Christ died for all. The Gospel from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." Haydock Commentary. The man who addressed Jesus might think that Jesus being the Messiah, he would act like a king and a judge. See in this the spirit of this world. At the very time Jesus is teaching disinterestedness and the contempt of riches, he is interrupted by a man who begs him to interfere in a temporal concern. Deaf to everything else, this man can think of his temporal interest only. He begged half an inheritance on earth. The Lord offered him a whole one in heaven. He gave him more than he asked for. So says St. Augustine. In his response, our Savior does not here mean to say that he or his church had not authority to judge, for he was appointed by his Father, the King of Kings and the Lord and Judge of all. He only wished to keep himself as much detached as possible from worldly concerns. First, not to favor the opinion of the carnal Jews who expected a powerful king for the Messiah, and two, to show that the ecclesiastical ministry was entirely distinct from political government, and that he and his ministers were sent not to take care of earthly kingdoms, but to seek after and prepare men for a heavenly inheritance. So says St. Ambrose. It is evident how far this poor man was mistaken when he called these things goods, which with more reason ought to be esteemed evils. The only things that can rightly be called goods are humility, modesty, and its other attendants. The opposite to these ought to be esteemed evils, and riches we ought to consider as indifferent. So says St. John Chrysostom.